everybody. Welcome to the How He Sees Me podcast. I am your host, Sharon, and today I am joined by David and Jeremiah.
Yo.
We are going to be talking about relationships, friendships, and your identity. So let's go. Y'all ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So listen, y'all. I'm excited about this because I think this is something that our teens need to hear. You know, your identity, how Christ sees you, and is that reflected in your friendships, your relationships, whether you're dating, whether you are just hanging out with friends, is that reflected? So I pulled a couple of scriptures. So the first one is Proverbs 27:9, which says, "Sweet friendships refresh the soul and awaken our hearts with joy. For good friends are like the anointing oil that yields the fragrant incense of God's presence." And then in Psalm 139:14, this is my favorite. I don't know about y'all, but I love Psalm 139. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." So we're just talking about knowing who you are and, you know, is that reflected in your relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you guys think about those scriptures?
I mean, Proverbs is like the number one book, I feel like, in the Bible. Yeah. So sure. Like I'm very, very passionate about the book of Proverbs just because it's wisdom. And I think everybody at any age group and any point of life needs wisdom.
Yeah.
And
of course,
if you have wisdom, then you know that you always need to be in pursuit of more of it. You know what I mean? And I think that it comes from different places. I think it's not about age. It's not about,
right,
you know, whatever, financial status. You can learn so much from every single person that you come encounter with. Mm-hmm. And I think that the wise person knows that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And the wise person knows that, like, every single person I meet, every single person I talk to can give me some type of perspective.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And influence me. And I think that's kind of where this conversation is rooted, is in influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More than anything, right?
Yeah.
Right? Because like every single person that you come into contact with is influencing you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Influencing you for the positive, influencing you for the negative. In some way, shape, or form, they're influencing you and you are influencing them. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of weight to that.
Yeah.
And I think that we minimize the weight every single day because we don't like to think that way. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, oh crap, I gotta be nice to everybody, or
yeah,
I gotta be who God has called me to be, or how God sees me, I have to be that way. But it's easy to kind of brush that off and try to take that off your shoulders and just be like, ah, no, it doesn't matter. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I like that. Let's stay there for a minute. Mm-hmm. When you talk about, you know, just I have to put this face on because I'm a Christian, you know,
mm-hmm,
I love Jesus, I go to church, so I have to represent. So it's, what does my influence look like in school or in my friend groups? And can I be myself, or is that being myself? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So for me, I just graduated this year. Like, well, I guess last year. But so with me, it's actually kind of funny. I never noticed the people that I hung around. Like I never consciously knew why I hung around this certain, like these certain 3 to 4 people. And it's funny because Jeremiah mentioned it after he had hung out with some of my friends from high school. And he said, all of your friends are so genuine and pure of heart. Mm-hmm. Like all of the people that I have around me consistently, I'll name drop because like these are my best friends. Like my best friend Adam, my best friend Matt and Jacob. Like
yeah,
these guys, without knowing it, I picked them to be my friends because they were so genuine and they loved from such a pure heart. Mm-hmm. And then even Jeremiah and like the people that I hold close to me now, like the pastors that I admire the most and the ones that I try to learn the most from, like they are so pure of heart, and I do it almost subconsciously because
yeah,
I find my identity in who God tells me that I am. And so it's easy for me to pick those people out subconsciously because I know who I am, mm-hmm, and I know how to be loved. I know how I love, and I know that the people who are loving me properly are the people that I want to surround myself with.
Yeah.
Because just like Jeremiah said, the people that you're around are influencing you, whether you know it or not. They're influencing you for good and for bad. And so finding the people that, for me, were influencing me for the positive, or even maybe they weren't influencing me for the positive. They were influencing me negatively without knowing it because they right. are genuine, and they weren't doing it from a place of manipulation or from a place of trying to manipulate me in a bad way. They just didn't know because they're genuine and they have mm-hmm. pure hearts and they know, like, and when I would say like, hey, why did you do that? They would say like, oh my gosh, bro, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't even know that mm-hmm. because they just don't know. And so the people that you surround yourself with, and even for yourself, like, you have to be willing to be corrected. And that's part of being influenced and influencing others for Christ, is being willing to be corrected mm-hmm. because, like, the fool despises correction. Right. Mm. Like that, I'm pretty sure that's in Proverbs, right? Like, that's somewhere in Proverbs. Yeah. But like, the fool despises correction. So your friends, they should be willing to be corrected by you, but you also have to be willing to be corrected by them.
Mm, that's good. That's good. So what do you say to, because that's high school for you, right?
Right. Yeah, that's high school.
So when you were in junior high, was it the same thing?
No. So, well, actually, I don't really know because that was so long ago and I changed school. So I went to a public school in middle school. And then I switched to like a private Christian school. Mm-hmm. And so, well, my best friend, Adam, he's been my best friend since we were like six. Mm-hmm. So that's been the same. Like, I knew that he was my best friend from like first grade. We've been tight since then. But in middle school, I didn't really have close friends like that I ended up sticking with. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why, because I didn't find anybody that was pure in that sense. They weren't pure in the sense of, they just wanted to see me succeed. Mm-hmm. Because I know without a doubt that my friend Matt would do anything to see me succeed, and I'll do the same thing for him. Like, yeah. I'll support him in any way I can to make him succeed and to give him opportunities to succeed. And I know that he'll do the same for me because he cares about me and I care about him. Like, that's my brother. That's my home. And that's the same with Jeremiah. Like, he supports me and I support him. Like, that's, as a relationship, as friends, in any kind of relationship, it needs to be mutual support.
Yeah.
And you need to love each other and you need to push each other to be better and not hate. Like, you have to be willing to be corrected. You have to be willing to be pushed and to get better and not settle for less than who you are.
Right.
Not allowing your friends to be less than who they are on a daily basis. And if they are, showing them like, okay, you're acting this way because of this. Okay, that's cool for right now, mm-hmm. but you need to get over that and get back to who you are and get back to who God called you to be.
And being willing to have those conversations,
right.
being comfortable with it, because the friends that, when you love someone and you're friends and you support each other, it's okay to have those conversations.
Yeah.
You know,
it's vital. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's necessary to have those conversations. No, I like that, because what it sounds like is that, you know who you are.
Yeah.
You know who you are. So you surround yourself with people because you know who you are, that are going to support you, that are, like you said, pure at heart, that are genuine friends. So that, I think that's a big deal. Not knowing who you are, maybe that affects that, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And that we can get into that piece of just like identity and all of that. But I think that before we just move on, just talking, kind of really digging into this, because I feel like, again, people do not want to acknowledge the responsibility of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a somebody named Dan Pena, he actually said this, you probably heard it before, but show me your friends and I'll show you your future.
Yeah.
He points out that you're an average of the five people you surround yourself with. So if you're, you know, you take your worst three friends and your best two friends and the people that you surround yourself with, you're going to be somewhere right in the middle. Now, if those people that really aren't that good to be around are really, really low, and the people that are pretty good really aren't that far ahead of you or high, then it's like, oh man, that average is probably going to be a little bit below where you want to be in your life. You know what I mean? But even to line it up with scripture, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Yeah.
And like, understanding that you can love people, you can be around people that, you know, maybe you grew up with, maybe you have some form of connection to, that you have to be obligated to in some way interact.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you stay too long and give too much, you're at the risk of being influenced.
Yeah.
You understand? And so when you're talking about like, oh man, like who am I in this friend group or who am I to this person? It's like, okay, well, you know, I don't want to treat them mean because I've grown, or I don't want to treat them mean because it's beneath my character to participate in the things they're doing. Then it comes up and it's like, oh, I feel bad and I feel convicted about that. But I also feel bad and convicted and nasty when I do spend time with those people. Right.
Yeah.
So like it's that balance of saying, you know, like I have to love y'all. Mm-hmm. I love you, but I can't be in this environment, yeah. mm-hmm. right? Like, I go for Thanksgiving sometimes. I used to go pretty frequently with my dad's side of the family down in Florida. And, you know, I love them. They're my family. Right. They're great, whatever. But if I spend more than 3 days in there, like, it's going to be problems. Mm-hmm. Because the spirit that's on me and the spirit that's on them is in it's mm-hmm. in conflict, mm-hmm. right? And I love you guys. I want to be around you. And I want to, you know, you're my family. But at the same time, like, I can't sacrifice who I am and yeah. the spirit that's in me and put myself at risk of being influenced by y'all negativity.
Yeah, because it's draining.
It's draining. It's going to put me in a place where I feel nasty. It's going to bring mm-hmm. me down. It's going to put me in a place where I can't operate, you know what I mean, to the fullest of who I yeah. need to be. And it's not to say, like, oh, my spirit's not strong enough to go in there and influence them. I think it is. Mm-hmm. But you can't always be the one influencing somebody.
Mm, go deeper with that.
Because, okay, look at it. Okay, oh, I'm the Christian in my friend group, right? Like, oh, I'll say, like, in my age, okay, they all love to go to the bar, right? They all love to drink or smoke, whatever. Like, I'm the one that doesn't do that thing. But I can be around them because I'm going to influence them to come to Christ. What happens? Like, eventually, I stop influencing them and they start influencing mm-hmm. me if that's the only relationship I have and the only group of friends that I'm constantly pouring into, yeah. right? Because it doesn't take that much time for that to happen. So I can sit there and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to change them for God. But eventually, that's going to start tearing down a little bit. You know what I mean? You're not going to be strengthened by those people. And the things that they're influencing you with are against the things that you're trying to influence mm-hmm. them with. And if that's the only group that you're around, you're going to start doing the same exact thing.
Right, right. You know? So as a kid going through junior high or high school,
right.
what do you say to them when they have these friend groups like that? You know, do you disassociate yourself completely with these
no.
people?
No, no, no. But it's loving from afar.
Yeah, you know? I would say it's extremely important to have people like that that you're pouring into. But it's just as important, if not more important, to have people that are over you and more influential, more anointed than you mm-hmm. that are pouring into you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
like, get to church, get to youth group. That's how I, like, for me who just graduated in high school, that's how I got to the point mm-hmm. where pouring into people wasn't everything that I was doing. Mm-hmm. Like, because I felt like I was constantly pouring into people, because in school, like, you can have your core friends, but you're still going to be talking to other people. You're still, like, you're influencing everybody that you're around. No matter whether you like it or not, people are influencing you. Mm-hmm. And so coming from a place of first always pouring out and just always feeling drained, always feeling like, God, like, I'm so tired. Like, I'm always giving. I'm always pouring out. I'm always drained. I'm always just spiritually tired.
Yeah.
Then getting to a place where, okay, I'm going to youth group now. Okay, I'm going to church now. Okay, now I'm serving. And getting poured into to be able to actually pour out and to pour out more than what I had previously known, and getting more knowledge and more wisdom to be able to share, because your friends are influencing. You can have friends. I think it's really important to have friends that are below you that you can influence, and people that you surround yourself with that you can influence, but you also still need to have people that are pouring into you so yeah, that your cup is not always
thing.
Empty.
Yeah, it can't be the only thing.
You can't allow your cup to always be empty. You have to constantly, like, you have to be pouring out, but you also have to be filling up too.
Yeah.
And yeah. like, honestly, you have to get to the point where you're so full that you're overflowing. Like, you're overflowing. The spirit is overflowing in you instead of just draining all the way, then filling back up, and then draining all the way and filling back up. You have to stay full so that you can overflow.
Yeah. And so just to kind of give some scientific, you know, perspective on it, some psychological perspective on it, because this is something we talk about a lot just in our youth group. This is something we talk about a lot with our young adults, because it's easy, and it's easy to fall into this trap, and it's hard because it's like, well, I want friends and I want to mm-hmm. be accepted and I want to be loved and I want to be supported. But if you're putting those people that aren't growing you in those positions to do that, then you're going to end up doing the same exact thing, mm-hmm. no matter what your intentions are. Right. Because we've talked about this. Oh, my gosh. So many times. Every single time I preach, I bring up Andy Stanley, basically. But in his book, Principle of the Path, which if you are anybody in any stage of life, you need to read Principle of the Path by Andy Stanley. But basically, he puts it very simply. He says your attention determines your direction and your direction determines your destination. So what you're paying attention to is going to determine your direction. Mm-hmm. And then that direction will in turn determine your destination. So it's not even about your intentions. It's not intentions. It's attention.
That's a good point, Jeremiah.
So like if your intentions are good, oh, I don't want to be, somebody who is sleeping around with everyone. I don't want to be somebody who only finds pleasure going to the bar. I don't want to be somebody who can only relax when they're high. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those are great intentions. But if the intentions are great. The attention you're paying, if that's only to a group of people that does that thing that you don't want to do, and that's where you find your, acceptance, that's where you find your joy, that's where you find your peace, that attention is then going to determine your direction. And that direction is then going to determine your destination. And people find themselves in a place where their intentions and their destination are very far from one another. I didn't want to do those things, but I'm this person that is having sex with everybody and can only be happy when I'm drunk or high. Mm-hmm. What the heck happened? That wasn't my intention.
Yeah.
And so there's that disconnect. But again, to kind of put that perspective on it, according to a study published in the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships, it takes about 40 to 60 hours of time spent together in the first few weeks after meeting for people to form a casual friendship. To transition from a casual friend to a friend takes about 80 to 100 hours together. For friends to become good or best friends, it takes about 200 hours of time spent together. That's it. 200 hours. Mm-hmm. So divide that into weeks. How many weeks is that? Right? 200 divided by 24. That's 8 days.
Yeah.
Less than 10. That's really every day I go to school. Like that's
basically.
It takes less than 10 days for you in your mind, in your heart, to determine somebody as a best friend or a good friend, somebody that you can be influenced by.
Yeah.
Less than 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. I grew up always being told everybody is not your friend.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have your associates, you have your acquaintances, you know. Then maybe a friend, then you have your best friend. But I guess it's not good for a parent to tell a kid like that. It's not good for a parent to tell a kid, if you can't be the influencer in the group, then you don't need to be friends with that group. So it's like you said, no, you shouldn't. You don't have to stop being friends with this group because, you know, people are doing things that you. But in my mind as a parent, I'm like, if they're doing things in the group and they're a bigger influence on you than you are on them and they're not doing great things in the group, then you shouldn't be a part of that group.
Right.
Yeah, well, let me say this for kids who are at school or for parents who have kids who are in school and they're talking about this, because as a kid, you can influence somebody and not hang out with them after school. Like you can, like for the kids that are drinking or the kids that are having sex or the kids who are partying or doing drugs, you can influence them at school. Mm-hmm. Without going to the party.
And participating in
it. You don't have to participate in their sin to show them that their sin is not right.
That's so good.
You can say, no, I'm not going because this is what I believe. I believe that that's wrong. And this is why. But for me, growing up, I was invited to so many parties. Mm-hmm. Parties and asked to do drugs, to drink, to have sex. Like that was every day. Mm-hmm. Even at a Christian school, like that was often. And so, but having an influence where it's like, no, this is who I am. And then the people who are closest to me also seeing, oh, this is how David is. And he doesn't waver in that because of what he believes. And he knows what he believes. And so for my closest friends, seeing that, they're able to then say, oh, I don't want to do that either because there's somebody else who's also doing that. And that, like, I can be cool and not do that sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what determines your worth, your value, your dignity, your identity. Your identity, your dignity is found in Jesus and that he loves you no matter, like you don't have to do this thing. You don't have to be validated by men or by women, by anybody to be valued. Mm-hmm. You're already valued.
Yeah. Well, and your life is displaying the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
And that is what's drawing you. But as a parent, to give you some kind of insight on that, like you say, okay, don't be a part of that friend group. Having them be filled up with the proper things and like you said, those influences is number one for you. Mm-hmm. Because when I went to high school, I was one of the top athletes at my school. I was a Division I football player in college. Like I was influencing my entire high school to support this nonprofit I started, like selling $20,000 worth of t-shirts in multiple high schools in the region. Like everybody and their mama knew who I was. And everybody knew that I was not going to be at the party drinking with y'all. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to be doing the drugs with y'all. And that every single Thursday night at the time, and every single Sunday, and every single retreat, and every single event, I would be present at my church. Because there was no compromise in that. Mm-hmm. Not one time.
Yeah.
Because if there was, then I can't be a part of anything else.
Right.
And that's where I think the biggest thing right now, just as the youth pastor seeing, is that parents are not making it a priority
to
have their kids in the place where they need to be mm-hmm. to be able to influence other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They bring them on church when they only come once a month mm-hmm. and expect that to be enough for them to go back in and not vape. When the vape looks like a freaking flash drive and they can do it with all their friends anytime, any place.
Yeah.
And then they come to me, what? I just can't believe little David is just not.
Bro.
I just can't believe. That's crazy. I can't believe he's got caught vaping and his grades are bad. And I just caught him and his girlfriend in the back of my car. And I don't know. Like, you don't prioritize bringing them to church. Yeah. You prioritize taking them to a soccer clinic in their baseball game. More than making sure that they're there every single Wednesday and every single Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, because like my mom and Pastor Troy will tell you, yes, I went to public school. Yes, I played football. Yes, I was friends with all of those people. But there was never a compromise of where I needed to be to fill up spiritually.
Yeah.
Not one time.
Yeah.
And that's now like that's where it is. And like we've had these situation arise even in the last week or 2 weeks where it's like, oh, this kid is getting into this and he's not acting like he's supposed to and he's fighting and doing this. And I straight up told this mom, I said, look, either he comes to church and fills up and continues to be able to be who he's going to be, or that environment is going to determine who he's going to be.
Because that's the reality. The environment that you surround yourself with the most, that's
what you're going to become. Yeah. And so if you're not prioritizing him being here, at youth group. And that's what I told him. I said, that kid hasn't been in youth group in 3 months. Yeah. I saw him at the retreat. I haven't seen him since.
You said that?
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah. And I straight up told her. And I told her, I said, is he going to the NFL? Mm. And she's like, well, he doesn't really play and he's not that good. Mm. And I said, okay, well, if he's not going to the NFL, why are you prioritizing and allowing him to not be a Christian and gain the faith-based qualities that you want him to carry for the rest of his life, but you're okay with him spending 90% of the time with this football team and this group of friends that isn't going to affect him positively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you can't determine what is important and what's sacred and what is going to help you grow to be the next level of person that you want to be as a man, so then this kid's going to be lost.
Yeah.
And don't blame him. The kid's 14 years old, the kid's 15 years old, the kid's 16 years old. They live under your roof in your house.
Under your influence.
Under your influence. That is your responsibility. Parents, if you're listening, it's your responsibility.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility. Even when they say, oh, I don't want to go, or I have this, I have that, I have friends, I have this, I don't know. You can be mad at me. My mom would tell me this all the time. You could be as upset as you want to be. But guess what? If you living in here, if you sleeping under this roof, if you flipping that light switch and turning the lights that I'm paying for to come on, you gonna be at church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's our job as parents to
parent.
Like,
we got
a parent. So I'm with you. I mean, I'm a parent. So, to hear you say that, and you don't have children yet.
No.
But to hear you say that, I mean, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Because as parents, we want our children to have the best. We want them to be involved. We don't want them to be, excluded from things or some parents. For me, I don't care. I believe that at the end of the day, you need Christ. And to look like Christ, you need to be in your word. You need to be involved in things that teach you who he is and who you are. If that is not what our life mirrors, then it's going to be a problem. So I can't complain when my kid is vaping or is hanging out with the kids who are doing these things or doing that thing, because if you're hanging with them, you're more than likely going to do it too.
But you prioritize,
right?
You prioritize them, but you prioritize making sure they were included in all this stuff that had nothing to do with Jesus.
Right. Exactly.
So why would you be surprised when
their life has nothing to do with Jesus. Right. And the things they like and the things they want to do has nothing to do with God.
Absolutely. So you have to think about, you know, what's best for that kid. What do you want for your child? And for me, I want my child to know who Jesus is. Right. I want my child to say, Jesus is my best friend. So I'm making sure that she attends those things. Listen, I have an athlete too, and so I get it. Mm-hmm. And I get that she wants to be at every tournament. But this is what we did for, and I'm speaking to all the parents out there. It's about prioritizing, and it's about what really matters at the end of the day. And it doesn't matter that she, you know, plays for an American league in JO. That doesn't matter. What matters is who she is and who Christ is to her, and that she has that relationship, and that she knows when she's struggling at school for whatever reason, I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to pray. Or I know that the Holy Spirit is listening to me, so I'm going to talk to the Holy Spirit right now. Like, those are tools. Like, that she needs to know that. So we cut out JO for this year coming up, because guess what? JO wants to have tournaments on a Sunday. And so I'm like, I need you in church on Sunday.
Right.
Like, I can't. It's important. You need to be there. So as a parent, I made that choice, you know, and here's the funny part about that. She said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
She said, no, I agree. Because
it's instilled in her what matters. Yeah,
it's instilled with her what matters.
She didn't push back. She loves playing volleyball, but she didn't push back. Right. She knows. She understands.
Well, she loves Jesus more.
And she loves Jesus more. Yeah, but and let me say this too. I have a full ride scholarship. I was an Ohio player. My scholarship was worth $75,000 each year that I was in college. Went to one of the top business schools for free, had sack records on my high school team, was one of the top players, started a nonprofit in high school, and did not miss one day of church.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know a lot of y'all kids who are not even good at the sport they playing. Yes, I tell DSM this all
Don't
the time.
Do it, Jeremiah.
I tell them this all the time. It's like, I know a lot of y'all aren't even good.
Yeah.
That
we've
tell
seen,
me,
we've seen
yeah,
it.
We've seen
we've
it.
Seen it.
And you tell me you're missing church on Sunday and DSM on Wednesday because you are prioritizing something that is nowhere near as valuable as your faith, and not to mention something that you're not even good at.
Yeah. As a kid, I remember, because it's the same thing with, like, my family is the same way. It was, if there's something on Sunday, like, you're not going.
Yeah, you're not going.
You're definitely not missing church.
Yeah.
And so I think Pastor Dom said it at the men's conference. He said, parents, where you compromise the most, your kids will compromise even more.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll be willing to compromise more.
Yeah.
So growing up, when my parents said no to Sundays, like, it was no. Mm-hmm. And I was like, was I upset? Yeah. But did I understand? Because that's church.
That's church.
And even, like, I remember, like, even, like, throughout high school, I was like, oh, no, like, I'm missing Sunday practices or AAU tournaments. Like, I'm missing Sundays. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to suck. Man, I was still good. Like, if you, like, that didn't change whether or not I was good. And it didn't change all of the work that I put in the entire week up to that point.
It didn't change your friendships.
No, it didn't change my friendships. It didn't change my influence. It didn't change how everyone viewed me. Actually, like, everyone was like, oh man, David actually cares about something. Like, he has value in something more than just basketball. That's we talked about that, like, finding your identity. Like, sports is not where your identity is. Like, sports can be a part of your life. It can be a small part of your identity. But when you graduate, like, when I graduated high school and I stopped having practices every single day, it didn't change who I was, because I knew where my identity, I had, my dignity was found in Jesus.
Yeah.
It wasn't found in basketball or soccer or golf. It wasn't found there. It was found in Jesus. And it's actually crazy. Like, Jeremiah talked about, you know, he was on full ride, whatever, and not doing stuff on Sundays. This church that I used to go to, it was in Mentor. I think it's called Grace Church in Mentor, something like that. Little plug, but no. and so the senior pastor, he was huge. He was like 6'7", and his wife was like 6'3". And they had, I think, four kids. Three boys and a girl. Every single one of them went D1. One of them is playing in the NBA right now. The other one is playing at Ohio State. And I think the oldest son is playing baseball. So they had a baseball pro, a basketball pro. I think he's playing for the Jazz right now. He just made the team. And then the other one's at Ohio State. And their daughter is also running D1 track.
Wow.
And none of them ever did anything on Sundays. Ever. And they're all like D1. Like they're top kids in the state in their sport. They all picked their own sport, but they were at, I remember going to youth retreat and seeing them there. And I was like, this kid is like the best D end in Ohio right now. And he's at our youth retreat
and didn't have to sacrifice his Sunday.
And he didn't, and no, and he didn't practice on Sundays with the team.
Yeah.
And he was one of the top D ends in the state. And I was like, what is going on? And for me as a young kid, seeing somebody who is that good at what they're doing and not sacrificing the Sabbath, like I was like, what? Like I can like, be good.
I can do that.
I can be good and not practice on Sundays. Like, how is that possible? Because when coaches are like, oh, well, we have practice on Sundays or we're doing a tournament on Sunday, that does, that the one Sunday or the Sundays that you're missing is not determining whether or not you're going to the NFL or whether or not you're going to college.
No.
Because the chances are you're not. Like when I was a freshman, I was like, oh yeah, like I'm going to the NBA, I'm going D1. And I had scouts looking at me as a freshman for basketball. But the more, like the closer I got to graduating and to actually getting to the point where I would be recruited, the more I started to realize like I'm not going to college for basketball.
Yeah.
And but I was okay with that because I wasn't practicing on Sundays and because that wasn't everything that I had.
Yeah.
Once I had to realize this isn't everything that I am, this isn't everything that I have, this isn't the only place of value that I bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Like I'm more than just a basketball player. Like I'm more than just what I do. It's I know who I am.
Because at the end of the day, it's not just about church. It's about relationship.
Right.
And I believe that your relationship with Christ is your most important relationship. So when we're allowing our kids not to show up on a Sunday or a Wednesday or go to our youth group, things like that, what you're teaching them is that when I have an issue, I just, that's when I pull Jesus out of my back pocket. I don't need him Sunday through Sunday. Like it's whenever I have an issue, I'll go pull him. And the rest of the time, oh, I got an issue. Now I can pull Jesus out of my back pocket. And it doesn't work like that. Relationships don't work like that.
No. And it's just training your kids what matters in who they are. We talk about that. David and I speak about it all the time. It's just people, especially young people, they have their identity and their dignity. And a lot of times the identity, which is made up of, you know, the things you do, where you're from, things you've been through, accomplishments, failures, all of those things, those are all a part of your identity. But it gets replaced. You put your identity in the place where your dignity is supposed to be found a lot of times. And your dignity is supposed to be found in Christ.
In Christ,
But the problem is we like, especially as young people, not just young people, but I see it a lot more as young people, is putting it, the identity on the dignity pedestal. And when you're not good at something that is a part of your identity, then it makes you feel like you're not valuable in that area. Or maybe something changes, or you go through something, or you fail, or you're not, you know, whatever. I put it like this. Okay, this kid that gets straight A's all the time, if they allow that part of their identity, the good student, be in the place of dignity, when they get that F, they're going to feel like they're the worst thing in the entire world. When in reality, that's not what makes you valuable. It's not, like you said, that's not what makes you important. That's not what gives you your purpose. Your dignity gives you that. And that's Jesus, right? And so it's the same exact thing, is when we're not prioritizing being in church, when we're not prioritizing setting that tone and the example of following God, then we're allowing them to say, this isn't who you are. This isn't where your dignity's found. Your dignity's found in, I hate always going at people that play sports, but your dignity's found in playing baseball. And man, if you don't make it to the MLB, oh my gosh.
Like it's over.
You're going to be shattered.
You know, but I loved what you said, even though it's like, because this is a big piece of like in relationships, as you referenced what Pastor Dominic actually said, and the way he put it was just amazing, because it really does apply. And this is something big for people that don't have kids yet, people that do have kids. It doesn't even matter. Like, this is the type of stuff where you're talking about setting a precedence in your life of who you are and how you live and how it's going to affect future generations of the people you influence. But he said it. He said, you know, the things you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess. The things you prioritize in moderation, it will be the things your kids prioritize in excess.
We are that example.
You're the example. And so even for me, like, I don't have kids yet, but I need to think about the things that I'm compromising in moderation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When I have a stressful day, am I compromising and say, oh, hey, I need to go get that drink. I need to go smoke that, or I need to go watch this. Or is it Sunday? I'm not really feeling like going to church today. I'll just watch online. I'll just take off. I'll let my foot off the gas a little bit here and compromise. Yeah. Because then when I do have a kid and they see those things, that compromise I'm making, the compromise I'm allowing to just be a little bit in moderation, in their mind, it's going to be okay. And then they're going to do it in excess.
Or the kids that you have looking at you right now.
Right now, yeah, that too. That too, yeah, that too.
Like Kendall mentioned, you said one thing, and I think it may have been this Wednesday, and you were just like, and you've said this more than once, and she was like, Jeremiah reminded me, he was talking to me, don't match energy. And so just saying that and not knowing that that's something that she struggles with, like don't match energy. But because Jeremiah said it, for her it was like, oh, I'm making sure today I'm praying about it. I'm not matching anybody's energy today. Mm-hmm. And that's because Jeremiah showed her it's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth it. Yeah, and that's it. You're setting that example, and you are responsible for the influence you have over other people. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it. We've seen it in people that are close to us that, oh, maybe their parents drink a little bit. Now guess what they want to go do?
Drink a whole lot.
Drink a lot more than their parents do.
You know what I mean? Like, but it's crazy. These are Christian kids. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, these are supposed to be the Christian kids. And it's like, but it makes sense because, and then I'm like, oh, well, how am I supposed to tell this kid that, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, but my dad does it right in front of me, and my mom does it all the time. And they don't do it excessively to the point where they're not functional, but I'm going to do it with no limits and just go crazy on it because I've seen them do it in moderation, but I'm going to do it in excess because that in my mind is what's okay.
Yeah. Because you don't tell them as a parent, oh, I'm only doing this a little bit. I don't get drunk. I just drink, you know, social drinking. Kids don't see that. And you don't tell them
that. You're not giving these. Yeah. That's not the example.
It's not the example.
No, it's just, oh, this is what my parents do. So I can do it as much as I want. And this is what my parents do when they don't feel like going to church. They sleep in, and maybe they'll turn it on the TV and YouTube while they're sitting there talking and making breakfast. Mm-hmm. So when I get the chance to run my life and I get the chance to make decisions, I'm not going to be at that church but on Easter and Christmas. Yep. And don't ask me to go. My kids won't know about God. I won't know about Christ. Yeah. My marriage will probably be a little rocky and turmoil and all this stuff. My happiness won't be fulfilled because my dignity is not going to be found in Christ. So I'm going to be looking for it in all the wrong places, in friends, in a job, in all of these things. And so you go in this spiral effect, and it's all because one person didn't take responsibility of their influence and prioritize the things that they needed to do.
Yeah. And like they always say, your kid doesn't do what you tell them to do. Your children do what they see you do. Yeah,
what you do.
No matter how many times you say it don't matter.
Right. It's like if Kendall's in there like, oh, yeah, my mom's always a Christian, except for sometimes when somebody gets on her nerves, then she cusses them out.
Let me tell you something. That is my biggest nightmare, that she says, my mom is only a Christian at church.
Right.
That is my biggest nightmare. I don't ever want her to say that or feel that way.
Yeah.
Do as I say, not as I do, does not.
Yeah,
work.
Right.
As a parent, doesn't work as a Christian.
Because, as a leader.
Because your actions speak way louder than your words. Who you are when you're talking to people and when people see you and when they don't see you. Because sometimes when you think people don't see you, they still see you. And as a kid, seeing my mom study her Bible, even in the midst of everything, seeing my parents worship, like that's how I knew what to do. My parents and the leaders, the people that I looked up to, and a lot of the people I looked up to didn't necessarily know that I was looking up to them, because like you're just like, by being who you are. And one of the coolest things I've learned about ministry from Pastor Mary, she said the greatest gift that you can give someone, or the greatest ministry you can do, is just being who God created you to be. Because if I'm being who God created me to be, and I'm not like, and I'm just, you know, I'm worshiping freely, or I'm speaking freely, or I'm doing what I know I'm called to do, these kids that are seeing me right now, being 18, who just graduated from DSM, like, if they're looking at me and they can say, oh, he is doing what I want to do. Like, he's doing that. He's doing what he's called to. They can say, I can do that too. And that I can be who I want to be and who God called me to be, because I see these people doing it. These people that I look up to. And for me, like, I don't really notice that kids are looking up to me. I don't notice that anybody looks up to me because mm-hmm. I'm just being who I am. Mm-hmm. Right. And if I'm being who I am, that's the greatest ministry that I can be. And I don't have to be anybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to be anybody other than who God called me to be, because who God called me to be is exactly who I should be.
Who you should be. Yeah. But I think that's that too, when you talk about influence, this is why parents want them, and I'm talking to every parent, including myself, want your children surrounded with the Davids and the Jeremiahs, you know, the precious, like the Laylas, like you want them surrounded because you know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and that for me, like just putting your kid in that environment for me is great because kids, yeah, you're the parent and you can tell them all day long, you shouldn't do this or maybe you should do this. But they're going to, and I know they're always listening to the parent, but they're going to see you and they're going to more so mimic or listen to you than they would to me as their parent, because you're their peer. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not too far in age from them, above them. So they're going to see what you're doing. And they're, oh, David's doing this. This must be cool. So now I want to worship too. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeremiah said, let's do this. So now I'm coming every Wednesday because this is what I want to do. Yeah. I think that's important. So as parents, you know, we see that. And yeah, I can tell my kid all day long, but I'm going to make sure she's in that room with the Davids and the Jeremiahs as much as she can be, because I believe that influence is better for her. And that's going to teach her how to be an influence when she's away from that group.
Right. Yeah. And for me, growing and learning who I am was a big part of being put in places to learn that, because my parents made me go to church. But once I got old enough to drive, I was like, okay, look, I'm going to find my own church because I want to find influence that's different than the influence I've had for my whole life. And so, you know, I struggled for like a year finding a church, and then I got invited to church in the North because I got invited here. And once I got here, like the influence was just different.
Yeah.
Like it was different and it was intentional and it was relational and it was personal. And so as a kid who was hungering so much to find Jesus, to find the love of God, to find who I was, to be able to find influence in leaders like Jeremiah as the youth pastor, and Pastor Dion and Pastor Dom and Pastor Troy, seeing those people just be who they are was so beneficial for me, because I saw that sometimes, but seeing people who I thought were cool, like everybody thinks Jeremiah is cool. Everybody thinks that Pastor Dom is cool. Everybody, like you look at these people as a kid and you're like, oh, they're super cool. Like they played sports in high school. They're doing worship. They preach. They run around like Pastor Dom, like, oh, he can dunk, or he can like, he can do like this cool stuff on the basketball court. Or Jeremiah, like, he's super strong. Like, he works out. Like, that's, as a kid, that's who you look up to, is the people who are doing the things that you want to do, and they're doing them really well.
Yeah.
And everybody here does what they do. Like, everything that they do, is they do really, really well. And they're not just doing it to do it. They're doing it because they love to do it, and because that's who they are. And they're passionate.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like, that increased my passion, because I'm seeing these people who I look up to, and they're doing it well, and they're doing it with love, and they're doing it with passion. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's why I fell in love with this ministry, and that helped me fall in love with God more, because it's like, I can do this. Like, I can do this with passion. I can do this with a burning desire for Christ.
Yeah.
And for kids, like, they need to be that. That's why, like, my heart is so strongly for DSM. It's like, guys, like, you need to be here.
Yeah,
like, you need to be here because, like, we can, like, this is who you are. This is who you need to become, is followers of Christ. And you can be super cool and be follower of Christ because that's the coolest thing that we can do.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best thing that you can do is follow Jesus with all your heart.
Yeah.
And that's what I learned. Like, and even like, man, if you miss basketball on Sunday or on Wednesday, you can play basketball at DSM.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like we play basketball at DSM, and I can guarantee you that you can't guard me. You know what I mean? Like, you can't.
Not one of y'all can guard me.
Not one person. Not one person in DSM. Jeremiah can't guard me either.
Nobody can guard me.
But not one person in DSM right now could beat me.
I hope they hear this.
I hope so too, because, and if you think, if you think your kid is good, send him to DSM.
See what's up.
And if he can beat me,
I'll play that.
Yeah, that's a little too
See what's up. Nah, but yeah, that's what it is. You know what I mean? That's what it is. They're going to be influenced either way. You're going to be influenced by where you pay your attention. You're going to be influenced by who you surround yourself with. Yeah. You're going to be influenced by your home life. All of those things. And that's for any age.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be careful. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful, and you have to surround yourself with those people that are going to influence you.
Yeah,
because the influences Christ. Are going to come either way.
No matter what yeah. you do, every single person you come in contact with is influencing you, and mm-hmm. you influencing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's just how it is. Yeah. We're humans, yeah. and that's what happens. Yeah. Like you don't get to choose.
Yeah.
if you turn that on or off.
Right, it just happens.
It's yeah. just going to happen, and so you have to decide. Like, okay, who am I surrounding myself with? Who am yeah. I going to be? Who do I want pouring into my life? You have yeah. to be very intentional about those things.
Yeah. And parents, who are you allowing to influence your kids as
yeah.
well?
That's
because
true.
for the parents that only bring your kids to church once a month or on Easter and Christmas, you can't expect the youth pastor to have enough influence over them to change their life in 25 minutes.
25 minutes,
like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like you can't expect yeah. a conversation after church or before church to change the direction of their life.
And that's what happens is it's like, again, it's like those intentions versus attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like they're like, oh, I want David to be a worship leader and I want David to love God and I want David to, but you bring them to church and make them come to church once a month.
Once a month. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. You have to, sometimes you have to put your kids in position of influence, whether they like it or not.
Put them in position.
Because even if they don't like it, they're still probably going to get influenced. Mm-hmm. Like if they're at DSM every Wednesday, something that I really, really take a point in, this has been just so influential to my life, is hearing, since I've been here, the person in front of you is the most important person in the entire room. Right. And so when I'm speaking at DSM, there's not one of those kids that isn't getting talked to, isn't getting asked, how are you doing? How is school? What have you been up to? How's volleyball? How's, mm-hmm. how's basketball? How's football? How are you doing? How many catches do you have? How many like I've learned so much about volleyball by talking to Kendall and Chase. Like, and I don't even like, I never played volleyball, but I know what a dig is. I know what a kill is. Like, and I know what a libero is. Like, yeah. I know what that
That's
stuff
crazy.
Is because, yeah. because the relationships that I'm building and that I yeah. want to build are intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's coming from a place of love because I want these kids to have what I got for 1 year. Yeah. I got it for 1 year. I want these kids to have it from the time they're in seventh grade until the time they graduate.
Yeah.
And I want them to know that DSM and that our church is a place that they can come to feel loved, to feel supported, to get pushed in a way yeah. that they can grow in spirit and in their spiritual life and their walk with Jesus, but also just as a person, like they can mm-hmm. be free. They can be who they are. Genuinely, because that's who I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to put on a mask when I'm just at church because, or when I'm speaking at DSM, because that's who I am all the time.
Yeah. Like, and, oh man, teens can see through that.
Exactly. They can see through that. Anything,
any right other away. Group.
And that's what I said. The first time yeah. that I was at the retreat, the first retreat that I came to here, the reason that I came back is because the leaders were who they were without compromise. Mm. And that's why I didn't go to, like, I stopped going to youth group when I, because every youth group that I had gone to was like, you guys are faking it. Like, you guys are here to give us pizza and to give us the salvation story. And then once we got saved, there was nothing more. Mm. And that's all they cared about. I was like, okay, we're going to get you saved. And then we're not going to disciple you. We're not going to teach you how to actually live as a Christian. We just want you to get saved. Like, that's it, mm-hmm. which is great. Like, it's like, obviously you want souls. We want to save people, we want Jesus to save people. But as a Christian, that's not where it ends. That's not where your influence
right.
ends.
Right.
And you yeah. can't allow that to be where your influence ends. And that's why I continue to come back, is because the genuine love that the leaders had for us and for me was so much more than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And there was teaching that grew me more than just Jesus loves you, he died for you, like accept him as your Lord and Savior. That wasn't the end.
Yeah.
And if I had questions, it was okay, like, let me show you where it is. Let me teach you. Let me love you in a way that will grow you and have influence over you that will be lasting.
Yeah.
That will sustain you for more than just until the next Wednesday.
Yeah. I think that's good. So if you leave here saying, knowing anything, parents and children listening, you know, get to DSM.
Get to DSM. Right. Yeah. Like, DSM is the greatest thing ever.
But that influence doesn't go away. You're going to either it's going to be a negative or it's going to be a positive.
Yeah.
So, of course, we didn't get to get into the dating piece because we're going to wrap it on up.
We didn't get to get into dating. No.
We're going to come back and talk about that because I definitely want to hear from you. And I know everybody do want to hear about, you know, the dating piece. And mm-hmm. kids are going to date, you know, that eventually that's what's going to happen. So we got to talk about that. And that's a big deal with, you know, coming, talking about relationships too. So with my last point, I always do a final thought. Mm-hmm. If you could say anything that you wanted, you know, young people to know, or even parents to know, what would that be?
I think that just what's been coming to my mind just kind of in the last few minutes of this, is just that there's proof in this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's proof in that if you put your attention to this, invest your attention to this, invest your time into following Jesus, into being who you are, mm-hmm. into finding your dignity in Christ, you can do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can be happy and you can have the things that the desires of your heart that God cares about so much. You can be who you want to be. Your kids are going to be who they want to be, but you have to prioritize what's important and make it a priority, and then that's how they get those other things. Mm-hmm. This has to come first, though. Mm-hmm. And we have so many that are doing it. So, like, I hate to sound like all the scenarios that I presented was like, oh, these bad things where their intentions and attention was not in alignment. But there are, like, amazing kids that are doing it. Like, shout out to Kendall. Mm-hmm. Like, Kendall is one of the most dope, like, 14-year-olds, right?
Yeah, 15 tomorrow.
See, yeah, like, and, like, she is who she is. She knows who she is. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Miracle. Like, we watch Miracle's vlog, and it's like, it's seriously, no, but, like, for real, like, we were watching it, and I was like, yo, that is, like, one of the most dope, like, little teenagers.
Because she got swag, and she doesn't care that it's different than everybody.
Like, we watched her first day of school vlog, and she put on, like, this nice little dress, like, this jacket. Like, she was, like, it wasn't anything that looked anything like the stuff that you see the TikTok girls doing, like, that at her age. Like, it was modest, and but it was, like, cool. Like, it was dope. And she was who she was. She was comfortable. She wasn't on that cussing or doing nothing nasty. Like, she was just, like, who she was, little brace face freshman, like, doing her thing, looking cool, looking fly. Like, but it was dope. And, like, I was like, she's gonna win. Mm-hmm. And I know she's gonna win because I know who her parents are. Yeah. I know what they prioritize. I know what she prioritizes. Yeah. And she knows exactly where her dignity's found. And she's gonna be dope. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's not just to say, like, oh, this, like, this lofty concept of, like, this could possibly work. Like, no, there's real people that have made a commitment to follow Christ and live this life according to his word and are not swaying on it. They're not letting culture make them change their mind. They're not letting what's popular or what they think they need to do put anything first before Jesus. Yeah. And so that's really my final thought, is that, like, don't listen to this and be like, oh, that sounds good, but my kid is that's not a excuse. That's not an option. Like, it's real. Mm-hmm. It's real. The responsibility's on you. And anything that goes on is your responsibility. Your influence is your responsibility. Yeah. Don't try to throw it on somebody else. Yeah. It's yours.
Yeah.
Own it and own the fruit of it.
Mm. Yeah, my closing thoughts for parents, don't compromise in moderation. We said it before, but don't compromise in moderation because your kids will compromise in excess. Mm. And your intentions with your compromise does not determine the result. It doesn't determine whether or not your kid is at church. Your intentions don't determine your actions. They can, but just because you intend for your kid to go to church, or you intend for your kid to be on worship team or to be in DSM or youth or whatever, it doesn't mean that that's where they're going to be. You have to make it a point. You have to take your point of influence, and you have to be that person for your kids, so that when your kid is struggling, they know that they can go to you because they see you every morning reading your Bible. They see you worshiping on Sundays. They see you taking them to church. They see you taking them to youth. They see you showing up to Wednesday services because there's not enough people in Wednesday services. There's not enough commitment from the people to say, not only am I going to go, but I'm going to bring my kids. Because I see so many kids on Sundays that don't come on Wednesdays. And they don't come on Wednesdays because their parents aren't coming on Wednesdays. Right. So get to church. Make your influence intentional if you want to make a change. If you want to make a change, you have to be at church. You have to surround yourself with people that are influencing you so that you can pour into others.
And bring your kids and your neighbor's kids.
You're right.
All right. Well, that was good. Thank you, Jeremiah and David, for joining me today. I'm looking forward to see what we talk about in the future.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right.